Good afternoon. It's 12:06 and time for Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI 89.1 FM. We'd love to hear from you today throughout our conversation, so give us a call at 1-800-471-9264, email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or post right on our Facebook page, Midday Matters. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and in the studio with me is my co-host, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And Sarah, we are splitting our last Friday features this month. So that means we're welcoming DID's Tana Winker to share the last Saturday excitement happening this very Memorial Day weekend with a special music report from Anita Epstein, who's representing Fort Wayne's Almost Famous Celebration, and Karen Richards. They're joining us from the mayor's office. And then we're on the road with local attorney, rocker, and author Mark Paul Smith, and he'll be sharing art-centric memories from his new book, The Hitchhike. It's also my faithful co-host Sarah D'Elia's last Friday here on Midday Matters Art-Centric before she begins her adventures at WBHM in Birmingham, Alabama. So we're adding that to today's mix, and we invite you to have your questions and comments ready for all of today's topics. But before that, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip for you as you head into this especially commemorative weekend, just in case you need a prompt. And what is yours, Sarah?
Mine is an event that's going on at the Cinema Center tomorrow night. Every last Saturday, which I'm sure Tana's going to be talking a little bit about, just a little bit about today, Cinema Center does midnight movies. So this Saturday, they're featuring Fight Club, one of my favorite movies and books, and it's going to be showing at midnight, so you want to get there around 11:45 p.m. to grab a seat and head on down. And the Cinema Center is located downtown at 437 East Berry Street.
That's a great idea. My quick pick is actually, okay, it's an extended suggestion. It's not exactly multiple because it's all happening at the Wunderkammer Company, which is at 4302 Fairfield. And Saturday from 6 to 9, they have an opening party for Open Wall 46807, and that's an exhibition dedicated to their hyper-local art, which showcases all 13 neighborhoods in the 46807 zip code. And also opening there that night is Free Radicals, an installation of Adam Meyer and John Colin McCormick's amazing work. Then on Sunday from 7 to 10, it's Dinner and Bikes at the Wunderkammer Company, a traveling roadshow of delicious food and bicycle inspiration featuring Chef Joshua Plague, author Ellie Blue, and a substantial excerpt from filmmaker Joe Beal's forthcoming Velo documentary, After Mass. So Saturday, 6 to 9, Mega 07 Art Party, and Sunday, 7 to 10, Extreme Bikitude. And the links to the events of both of these events, all of these events, are on our Midday Matters Facebook page, and they're all happening at the Wunderkammer Company, 4302 Fairfield. And now we can get ready to hear all about the seasonal art centricity on tap for downtown Fort Wayne's last Saturday excitement as we welcome DID's Tana Winker and Mayor Youth Council President Anita Epstein. And Tana, how much celebration can one Memorial Weekend last Saturday possibly hold?
It's amazing. Again, I know I say this every month, but I thought maybe with Memorial Weekend falling on the last Saturday, it might not be as busy. I was wrong.
Well, what a good way and day to be wrong.
Yeah. And I guess I don't know where to begin at this point. I probably will start with the thing that's the least art-centric, but it's very healthy, and that is the Fort for Fitness Spring Cycle and their Twilight Bike Criterium, which is going to take over the whole downtown for almost the whole day. It starts in the morning with children's activities and family rides at 9 a.m., and then it goes on into the afternoon for the families. I think that ends around 2, but then the evening, and from 2 on to like 9 p.m., there is this bike race. It's professional bicyclists. They come from all over. It's fast. They go around curves. It's going to be very, very busy. And one of the most fun things, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, is the Fort Wayne Almost Famous Beatles Fest. These bikes are going to be whizzing right past these concerts. So you're going to have a chance to see this excitement of the biking and the bands and the talent show all at the same time.
That is amazing, and what a good, well, this is the end of Bike Month, and so hence the Wunderkammer Company's little tribute, and then this the whole race right here in Fort Wayne. Who knew that we were such a hub, literally two-wheeled hub of activity? What else?
Well, while you're downtown for that, there are great things going on. As usual, the History Center is having half-price admission. So if you want to stop in there and see some of their really excellent exhibits and displays, that's something to do. Stoner's Fun Store. Dick Stoner's going to be doing magic tricks for children for free in his store. So that ought to be a lot of fun. At the library, they're having an all-ages chess club. And they're asking people to come into the library, meet up with other chess players, and play some games.
Isn't that a traditional, maybe universally traditional activity for libraries to, of course, encourage people playing chess? But in this case, there's a chess tournament happening.
Yeah, and it's free. And it's from between 11 and 1. So just a couple hours of a way to challenge your brain and test your skills and inspire yourself into being a little bit, I'd say, a little bit more strategic in how you think about things. At the Bollinger Freiman Botanical Conservatory, there's a wonderful exhibit right now on butterflies with an African beet. Oh, you got to go see it. It's an annual live butterfly exhibit, and it bringing in the African showy butterfly specimen from Old and New World. It's very interesting, tropical Africa. It's just mesmerizing. I don't know how else to explain it, but you've got to go in there. It's between 10 and 5. They're open, and they have some nice programming going along with that tomorrow. So that'll be a nice thing to do. It may be a little chilly outside, but the conservatory's always warm.
That is a good point. We're hoping for warm weather on this Memorial Day weekend, and thanks to Tina Winker from the Downtown Improvement District, I dare say the voice of all things art-centric happening downtown on the last Saturday celebration, which, as it coincides with Memorial Day this year, it seems to be an extraordinary and wonderful amount of activity that is being shared right downtown for all of Fort Wayne. And speaking to that, we have, well, there's a couple of musical activities that are very, very special coming up this weekend, right, Tina?
Right. Well, we have Beatles Fest. I don't know if you guys remember this from last year, but they're doing it again. And this year there's different bands, but they're all covering different Beatles songs, and they're purposely not doing the same songs between the bands, so you won't hear five versions of Here Comes the Sun. You're going to hear, you know, all different songs, and that it could be, it's an all-ages event. It's going to be held also at the library in the evening part, and it's from 5 to 9 p.m. It's free. It suggests you bring your own lawn chair, but other than that, there will be some food and some beverages and things like that available. The bands include Cat Bowser and the Band of Blues, great, the Whale Hounds, the BC Fuzz, and the Walkin' Papers.
Great bands, and to understand that they'll all be covering fantastic Beatle songs in tribute, and what a fest that will be. Again, where will that event be and when?
Now, that's on the plaza at the library, and it's sponsored by Rock 104 and Calhoun Street Soup, Salad, and Spirits. So that is in the evening. At the same time, you can go down to Calhoun Street, right by One Summit Square, and hear and see teenagers at Fort Wayne's Almost Famous, and I think we should let our guests tell us about that.
I certainly look forward to once again welcoming our own, the Mayor's Youth Council President, Anita Epstein, is with us, and also from the Mayor's Office, we have Karen Richards here, and yes, let's hear, of course, in a way, three cheers for the youth represented in this event. And Anita, welcome. And why don't you tell us a little bit about this fantastic musical offering?
All right. Well, thank you. Pretty much Fort Wayne's Almost Famous is working to bring a lot of the youth in our city downtown. So what we all came together to host a citywide talent show, which showcases a lot of the talented teens in our area, and we feature live bands and dance groups, some acoustic musicians and singers who are performing, and that event is from 7 to 10 on the 900 block of Calhoun Street, that which is between Washington and Wayne. So basically, as a group, like I said before, we're working to bring the youth downtown, and our council worked all year to try and form this event, and we worked to collect some sponsors like Hot 107.9 and Vera Bradley, and by hosting a art show earlier this year, which included art from different high schools all over the city, we tried to raise awareness for this event, all culminating to benefit the reclamation project.
That's fantastic. So it really is a worthy cause as well as a wonderful fun cause. And Anita, while we have you here, and you're about the perfect example of the bright, fresh, young local youth, why do you think the young people don't make it a practice or know to make it a practice to come down to right down to the heart of town for events?
I'm not quite sure. I guess it's the drive, if anything. But, you know, with such great events, especially like these last Saturdays, I don't see a reason for the youth not to come down and support their friends and all the people that go to their school to see what's happening in our city. It's really an amazing thing that's going on here.
And, of course, we always look forward to hearing from Karen. How is this project working for you, and this year's in particular? What can you tell us about the action that we're going to see?
Well, I'm just very excited because all the talent that is here, the youth that are involved, it's a very diverse group. And so there's students from almost every school involved in the console. So I think that's one thing that is a goal of the console, is the diversity and coming together with all the kids. Because it's a volunteer console. We take applications for that before at the beginning of the year. In fact, right now, before we sign off, it would be great to let everybody know that we're in the process now of taking new applications, and we appreciate this venue being able to offer that right now. So there is everything from cup entertainment to dancing to singing. We've got bands coming downtown. There'll be food trucks down there. We have some roller skaters that are going to be on the street throughout the day and the evening. Of course, they'll stay out of the way of the bicycles. So there's a safety factor. So we're just very excited about how this year is. And every year it just keeps getting bigger and better. And the enthusiasm is definitely there coming out of the mayor's office. And the leadership that these kids have shown, which is what we really look at, their volunteerism and being philanthropic to their community. And many of these kids live out of ways, out of the city. So this has enabled them to come down and, you know, not be fearful of what's down there, to see what's going on. And it's a great, great thing that's, you know, being sponsored by the DID and the bicyclists and everyone that gets involved in downtown and the Beetle Fest. I mean, we're really excited to be involved with everyone
this
year.
You're going to be right down in the thick of it, which is the place to be. And Anita, did you ever think that it was going to be this exciting when you signed on for the presidency and everything else that goes with the Youth Council?
No, I knew I was going to be in for something great and something revolutionary, but I didn't know that we would have the opportunity to be in the middle of, you know, all these different events, and I'm really excited to see what's going to happen and how, you know, all these different parts of the city are going to all come together to bring some great entertainment for the citizens.
Sounds wildly exciting, and thank you for the rundown, and we look forward to all of that. And Tana, as you go, speaking of running along through continuing on the events, tell us real quickly what this kind of an impact the Almost Famous has on your last Saturday extravaganza celebrations.
Well, I think this is going to be a wonderful mix of events. We've got families going down to Beatles Fest. You've got teenagers showing off their talent two blocks away.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to walk back and forth between these things and see not only the diversity among the students, but diversity among the ages of people who are going to be participating. With the bike racer on, you've got a whole nother demographic of people. So one of the beautiful things about downtown is we have the space and we have the amenities to bring all these different interests into the same place at the same time. And I expect it's going to be very cohesive and very interesting. And I think people are going to have a great time if they come down and check it out.
I also think that folks are going to be pleasantly surprised. There's ample parking, and certainly there are a lot of people at any given last Saturday installation of goodies and goodness to enjoy. But I think that this Memorial Day you're going to have quite a crowd, and that's the beauty of downtown Fort Wayne. This is an accessible and quite easy to reach. The periphery is just a pleasant walking distance, biking distance, or skateboarding, of course, for those that might be not quite legally doing that, I guess, so don't do that. But plenty of room for everything to be happening.
Oh, absolutely. And really, I think people could spend the whole day downtown tomorrow and have a wonderful time. You could start out in the morning and do your biking. You could stop by ArtLink and see the 33rd Annual National Print Exhibit, as well as artwork from students from Memorial Park and the Halo Project. There's ceramic wall work from Christy Jo Beaver. So just at ArtLink alone, between 12 and 6, you can go in and see a great exhibit. You can go over to the Museum of Art. The Afro's Celebration of Natural Hair exhibit is still up, and you got to go see that. That is something else. Very interesting. And they also have an exhibit called Brilliant Optics, a Spectrum of Mediums and Colors. So you could take a break, go in the air conditioning, see those great exhibits, stick around, go have dinner at maybe Hall's Gas House and hear Joe Stabelli playing music, then slide down to Fort Wayne's Almost Famous. There's just a whole day of excitement to do and things to just from one end to the other, jazz to modern music to Beatles. It's going to be fun.
It is, and as always, we thank you for sharing things so that folks can know, especially this very, very busy weekend. And I guess, Anita, another question for you. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask your favorite thing that's going to be presented at Almost Famous, but do you have some particular events to mention with the Almost Famous that folks should be sure to not miss?
Well, there are going to be some great dancers they have some great routines, and some of these acoustics musicians, they're just really amazing, and it's hard to believe that, you know, kids my age are so talented, and I really think they're headed off to do some great things. So if you're going to come out for something, the dancers and these acoustic acts are really something to see.
Dancers and the musicians in small combo or solo, however they happen to be performing this weekend. And these, again, are all local area high school students, correct?
Yes, we received so many submissions, and it was really quite difficult to choose between my peers here. But we have a talent committee that came together to choose between these submissions, and we had to narrow it down to about 10. So these are the best of the best.
Then is it safe to say if I asked your least favorite part of your role in this would be narrowing the vast talent down to 10x, would the answer be yes?
Oh, quite definitely.
And in the meantime, how can would hopeful talents or anybody that wants to get involved in one way or another with this festival, how can they get in touch with you?
It's you can get in touch with me through my email address, Hanita 95 at yahoo.com, or you can talk to Karen Richards here, who's the main woman in charge, and that's how you can send your application in. Or if you want to submit your talent, this is our third annual event, so next year, you know, it's always open to send in a video of what makes you really special.
And you are working on this all year, so it's really never too early to for folks to get in touch that way. And in the meantime, Tana, I know that you're going to give us a recap and a rundown on the last Saturday. And I also know that you would like to say something to Sarah, because this is her last Friday here on Midday Matters.
I do, and I am really sad to see Sarah go. It's been fun doing this every month and getting to know you, and we are definitely going to miss you.
Thank you. I will miss you all as well, everyone in this room and everyone that we're talking to right now.
And Sarah, why don't you tell folks where you will be so that they know that you are happily staying in at least our public radio family.
Sure. I recently accepted a position at WBHM, which is a member station in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm going to be hosting one of the flagship programs down there, either All Things Considered or Morning Edition, still working out those details. And I'm going to be getting back to some more long-form journalism and storytelling, which is where my passion lies, and I'm really excited to be doing that. And, you know, it's been amazing. I've been in Fort Wayne for about 2 years now, and it's very quickly become a fourth or fifth home. I'm kind of moving to my fifth state here and about the seventh different city I've lived in. So it's definitely become a place that I'll come back and visit and have made a lot of great friends. And I've really appreciated the support that I've gotten from the community while I've been here. It's been amazing. I've never lived somewhere where I was embraced so much and starting out in my career. So Fort Wayne will always have a special place for me.
We do try to put the heart in the heartland, and also certainly having Sarah be a faithful Fort Head has been such a treat and a pleasure right here on the show. And I know that it's part of the reason you look forward to coming in every last Friday to talk about last Saturday, Tana.
Absolutely. And I just can't say how much you have done well to support the arts in this community. It's
Thank
really
you.
Really nice.
Thanks. It's amazing that we have such a vibrant art community here. It's really inspiring. So I'm really glad to be a very small part of it.
And speaking of the last Saturday, and this is Memorial Day weekend, and Tana, it's so kind of you to always make it here to tell us all about the things that folks really have to at least consider seeing. And in this case, we doubly thank Anita Epstein and Karen Richards from the Mayor's Youth Council. We have President and probably mentor, heavy mentor there in Karen. And thank you for coming and especially talking to us about the Almost Famous. In the meantime, Tana, what are folks, quick rundown from A to Z, so to speak, what folks are going to see this weekend?
Well, we've touched on a lot of that. There's a lot of activities during the day at our different museums and our places like the History Center, the Botanical Conservatory. Be sure to go see those. I think you should go to the DID website. That's probably the best way to find all this information. That's downtownfortwayne.com. And while you're there, in the next week or two, we're going to have a contest posted for the month of June, where if you go into many of these places, like the Museum of Art or ArtLink, you can get a stamp on a little game board. It can be downloaded from our website. It's also through Leadership Fort Wayne. It's a project of one of the Leadership Fort Wayne groups. And you have the whole month of June, starting with German Fest and ending with Greek Fest, to go to the different shops downtown and get stamps. And for every stamp you collect when you turn in your card, you're entered in drawings. The grand prize is a night getaway with a hotel room, dinner at Club Soda, and tickets to the Phil. And it's the Phil show of your choice for season. Any of them, including Holiday Pops. So definitely worth going around downtown, getting some stamps on a little game board, and having a good time exploring the city.
And you have most of the month to do it, and that would be so by the time we hear about the last Saturday June excitement, well, you might be ready to win this great big prize, and that would be absolutely fantastic. And who could ask for more? And as always, we thank Tana from the downtown, the voice of Downtown Improvement District and all things wonderful happening in Fort Wayne, for sharing this upcoming Memorial Day last Saturday excitement.
And also, I just wanted to say real quick, Jack Inkenbrook, our intern here at WBOI, is going to be participating in Almost Famous. His band Tune Fancy is going to be playing about 8 o'clock. and around the Pint and Slice area, he told me. That's where we should look for him. So,
well, do you vouch for this, Anita?
Yes.
So, tune and, fancy.
And we have to say that we know that Jack is totally famous, but as far as in this concert with tune fancy, he is almost famous.
And support for Midday Matters on WBOY is provided by the United Way of Allen County, announcing this year's top campaign committee award recipient, GMFWA Truck Assembly Plant UAW Local 2209. That's what it means to live united. UnitedWayAllenCounty.org. And support is also provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC. Are your investments tax-wise? More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com. It's 12:31. This is Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI, and we'll be back after this break at the news.
On the next Fresh Air, we listen back to our interview with Ray Manzarek, keyboardist for The Doors. He died Monday. He co-founded the band with Jim Morrison, but when Morrison came up with the band's name, Manzarek's reaction was...
That's ridiculous. The Door... Oh, you mean like the door is a perception, the door is in your mind.
Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon, I'm Sean Beter with WBOY News. Indiana Governor Mike Pence and House Speaker Brian Bosma praised former Governor Otis Bowen's humble nature and his political legacy during a State House memorial for the popular two-term governor. Three of Indiana's former governors, Evan Bayh, Joe Kernan, and Edgar Whitcomb, also attended Thursday's State House Rotunda service for Bowen, who died May 4th at age 95. Pence recounted Bowen's World War II service, his return from the war to start a medical practice in his hometown of Bremen, and for later helming what he called one of Indiana's most consequential governorships. Pence also praised Bowen for overhauling Indiana's tax system and creating five new state parks. Bowen was governor from 1973 to 1981 and later served as secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. State legislative leaders say they're looking for answers behind recent problems with I-STEP testing that disrupted the exams of thousands of Hoosier students. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, a study committee will investigate the issue this summer.
The Legislative Council, which sets the agenda for study committees each year, added I-STEP to the list of topics after concerns were raised about the validity of recently completed exams that were interrupted during the first two testing days. Senate President Pro Tem David Long says the study committee will invite representatives of testing company CTB McGraw-Hill, State Superintendent Glenda Ritz, and school superintendents from around the state.
We want answers to why this happened, how it could have happened, what they're doing to fix it, most importantly, and we also want to find out whether this has tainted the test or not.
Long says using an independent third party to validate the tests is a possibility.
That's up to superintendent of public schools at this time to make that call, and I think we'll support what her decision is. But in the meantime, we're going forward to make sure that there's a very public vetting of this issue, which otherwise won't occur.
Long says the meeting will take place as early as possible in June after the test results are released. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And Governor Mike Pence is urging congressional leaders to bring a revived federal media shield law to a vote on the floors of the U.S. House and Senate. Pence was the author of a 2009 media shield bill that cleared the House but never made it to the Senate floor for a vote. He wrote House Speaker John Boehner, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, and the two chambers' minority leaders urging them to bring the new measure to a vote. The controversy over the government's secret subpoena of Associated Press telephone records has led to the reintroduction of the Media Shield Bill in both the Senate and the House. The legislation would allow reporters to not reveal confidential news sources in federal court proceedings, except in certain circumstances. And let's take a quick look at the weather forecast. Right now, sunny in Fort Wayne. We'll have highs today near 64 degrees. Overnight, mostly clear, a low around 40. And on Saturday, more sunshine with a high near 67 degrees. You're listening to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM.
Welcome back to Friday Art Centric Midday Matters here on WBOI 89.1 FM. It's 12:35, and if you have a question or comment, we'd love for you to join today's conversation. You can give us a call at 1-800-471-9264, email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or post right on our Midday Matters Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and in the studio with me is Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. In this segment of Midday Matters Art Centric, we're bumming a ride with Fort Wayne attorney, musician, and author Mark Paul Smith, and headed for some extreme adventure, all to be found in his new book, The Hitchhike. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Julia.
Now, The Hitchhike, your own Vietnam-era memoir, is fresh off the presses and so very exciting. Why don't you tell us a bit about the odyssey and the era that inspired the book?
Well, first of all, I have a copy here with me, which is autographed for Julia. I have loved working with you and listening to your fabulous work on public radio. Peace and love, Mark Paul Smith. Your own copy. It's so good to hold this book in my hand. I've been wanting to write it for 40 years. Mm-hmm. It happened in 1972. I was an officer in the Air Force, scheduled to be a pilot and rain down death on Vietnam. They gave me 8 months leave, and I hitchhiked around the world. And I came back a conscientious objector, which is a bit of a touchy topic here on Memorial Day. I certainly don't want to step on any gratitude for our service people. But for me, I decided that I could not participate in the Vietnamese War. I was in a garden in Debrecen, Hungary. I'd hitchhiked through the Iron Curtain. I was working on a collective farm, and we met some people from North Vietnam. And they saw I was from America, and there was this instinctive look of hatred and anger in their eyes. And I quickly apologized for what my country was doing to their country, because even then, I was still a lieutenant, but I didn't think what we were doing was right. I mean, the anti-war movement was burning up the nation. Jane Fonda was in North Vietnam. The year I got my commission, the month I got my commission was when they had the picture of that little girl trying to run away from her own napalm bomb burns down that trail in Vietnam. It was a horrible image. But there I was, face to face with people from North Vietnam. And one man through an interpreter told a story that changed me forever. He had just lost his fiance to death from the sky from a U.S. bomber while she was working in a civilian hospital in North Vietnam, in Hanoi. Now, I didn't know, and the American people didn't know we were bombing civilians or cities or anything else. It was the secret bombing. I tried to hug the man, and he collapsed in a puddle of sorrow with his arms around my ankles, squeezing tightly. And he looked up at me, and I'll never forget that look of anguish. And he had tears running down his face and snot coming out his nose. And he looked up at me just begging for compassion, if not understanding. And in that moment, and that night with those North Vietnamese, the sorrow and horror of what that country had been through was poured into my soul. And suddenly, it wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about what was going to happen to me if I didn't bomb North Vietnam. It was about what was I going to do to these poor people on the other end, the bad end of a supersonic jet. And I went back in my mind and through all my training, and I saw the films, and all the films had been narrated by commanding officers, and they were, of course, heroic films of jets with their wings glinting in the sun and rolling down, and they always dropped their bombs in the jungle. I'd never seen a film of one of my planes, one of our planes, dropping its bombs on civilian hospitals in a city. That night was what I called my crystallizing moment. But That's a serious part of the book. The other part of the book is it was the women's liberation movement. It was 1972. I'm going to read you the prologue. I'm going to read it slowly because it's kind of fun. There was a time not long ago when you could walk to the highway, stick out your thumb, and catch a ride with a total stranger. Those were the days when sex was safe and rock and roll was the soundtrack for the revolution. Young people from all backgrounds hit the road with nothing but packs on their backs to find enlightenment and somehow to end the war in Vietnam. When I left on my journey, I wasn't sure if I was an intrepid explorer or just another fugitive from justice. I had no idea I would end up meeting John Lennon, hitchhiking through the Iron Curtain, working on a collective farm in Hungary, living on a nude beach in Greece, nearly dying in a storm at sea, smoking opium in Iran, fighting my soul in the music of Afghanistan, smuggling turquoise over the Khyber Pass into Pakistan, and nearly dying from dysentery in the dagger of my Argentinian lover in India. I also had no idea that the women I would fall in love with along the way would change my life forever.
Well, you certainly know how to put a prologue together, Mark Smith. And for our listeners, we are discussing local attorney and musician Mark Paul Smith's brand new book called The Hitchhike here on WBOI's Midday Matters Art-Centric. If you would like to call in a question or a comment for Mark, you can give us a call at 800-471-9264 or email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or get in touch with us on our Midday Matters Facebook page. And Mark, it's a lot of folks would ask, so many projects and so little time. We're glad that you put this memoir together. What took you so long?
Well, I didn't have the maturity to write it. Some would say I don't have the maturity now, but they would be wrong. You know, on the cover, there's a picture of a machete that I took on my trip, and it's very symbolic. Some people say, well, if this is a big book about peace, what's the machete doing on the cover? And it was a gift to me from my father in Costa Rica. When I started off on my trip, I was certain there'd be dangers and travails along the way. I'd need to be armed. Well, the point of the book is I hitchhiked all the way around the world, and never once did I have to draw the machete. People everywhere were helpful and kind. And that's the point of the book. Okay, everybody, listen up. Here's the thing. The people of the world want peace. They don't want war. It's time for us to get together and put a stop to this craziness. In Spain, they told me, well, it's okay in Spain, but watch out for the French. They're kind of weird. In France, they said, well, watch out for the Italians. In Italy, watch out for the Greeks, all the way along. All I met were good people. Now, every hitchhike is a leap of faith in the goodness of mankind. Now, here we will address the central element. The central question of all philosophy is mankind, womankind, essentially good or essentially evil? This book stands for the premise, and it's based upon my empirical observations and worldwide travel, man and women are good. Good news, people. You take a leap of faith in the goodness of man and woman, not only when you take a hitchhike, but every time you walk out your door. You're taking a chance, but what do you find? You find people who don't really want to be involved in so much as a fist fight or an angry argument, let alone the horrors of war. So, how has this insanity prevailed? Why did we learn nothing from Vietnam? Why Iraq? Why Afghanistan? The answer is very simple. One word is causing war. The word is fear. We create a climate of fear. Some leaders, some greedy, power-hungry leaders, this is the same through time immemorium, create a climate of fear to consolidate their power. When I was on my hitchhike in 72, the fear was the Red Scare. It was the communists. And oh, if we lost in Vietnam, there was going to be a thing called the domino effect, and certainly the world would fall. Well, I learned that, number one, communism is no monolithic force. I mean, the Polish hated the Russians, and the communists hated the Russians. Everybody who wasn't Russian hated the Russians. But okay, we got over that. The wall fell. As far as I know, Julia, I'm the only person to ever hitchhike through the Iron Curtain.
Tell us about that. That is certainly a unique claim, and I believe that it's true to make. So, yes, how did that make you feel?
There's a no man's land between Austria and Hungary, 20 miles wide. It looks like the nuclear bombs have already been dropped. There's no trees. There's no bushes. There's no telephone poles. There's no cows. There's no chickens trying to cross the road. The road itself is slithering like a poisonous snake in search of prey. It's a bad place to try to hitchhike.
You know what? I do believe you, yes.
There was no traffic. There was no cars. So I keep walking and walking, and finally, oh, here comes a car. Oh, yay. I turn around, stick out my thumb, even though he's too far away to see it. And I see this guy approaching. It's not a military vehicle. That's good. Maybe I've got a chance. And as he looks at me, I can see this guy's as scared of approaching the Iron Curtain as I am. His hands are on the steering wheel at 10 and 2. He speeds up slightly as he passes me. No chance for a ride. I see him looking at me in the rearview mirror like, you poor fool. But what he didn't know was I had a visa. I had a visa in my pack to gain entry into Hungary, which I figured would save me. But as I'm walking toward the Iron Curtain, I'm thinking, uh-oh, I've also got my Air Force officer's orders in my pack, and that might not go over just too swimmingly at the border. I think, oh, what am I going to do? First of all, why do I have these orders if I'm just going to quit anyway? But I kind of carried them like a security blanket, you know, in case I got thrown in jail somewhere. So, sure enough, I stuffed him in my sleeping bag and proceeded to walk toward the Iron Curtain. At first, I didn't think there was going to be anything because I saw nothing. And then over the hill, in the distance, I saw towers about 50 feet tall. Now, there wasn't a curtain at all, and it certainly wasn't iron. But as I got closer, I could see that the towers were connected with barbed wire. And on top of every tower was a young guy with a gun kind of pointed at me. And I kept walking with my orders and my visa in my pack. And as I got close enough, I flashed a double peace sign, hoping they wouldn't gun me down because they'd been known to do that. Then I realized, I look too much like Richard Nixon. So I lowered one arm and gave him a peace sign. As I approached, a commander came out of a brick building alongside the gate. His troops had come down from their towers. They were young kids. They were interested. Who is this crazy hippie? I had a big afro and a beard and hiking boots and patched leather jeans, and I was a ragamuffin boy. And they wanted to see who the hell this was trying to get through the Iron Curtain on whatever day it was, at whatever time it was, about noon. And the commander came out, and he thought about ordering his troops back to their posts. But then I saw, no, he wanted them to stay to see what he was going to do to me. He was going to make an example out of me. And I thought, oh, dear, here we go. Well, having been in the military, I used my best military bearing, and he motioned me with both arms like a traffic cop to come toward him. And I did, and I handed him my visa, thinking, oh, boy, I hope this thing's in order or I'm doomed. And he looks at it, kind of harumps and sniffs, and he looks like a teacher who's about to share a private note with the rest of the class. And he holds it up to the sun, and the troops are holding their breath. You can feel they're kind of pulling for me. He turns it over, and I think he's going to rip it up. And then he just says, he hands me the visa back and he says, passport. I thought, well, this is going well. I handed him my passport. He looked at it, he clicked his heels, and he said, all is in order, you may go. I thought, oh, wait, no search, no nothing. And the troops around parted and made a way for me to walk through. And as I walked through, they started to cheer. And it was something. And he didn't stop them. And that was the start. It wasn't just me trying to break down the wall. It was everybody. But that wall, by the time I got there, was turning into a sieve. And it was no surprise that it fell years later.
We have a caller with a question on the line. Madeline, welcome to Artcentric Midday Matters.
Thank you. And greetings to fellow archer Mark Paul Smith.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Marvelous. I'm just curious whether or not your book is as embellished as you're sharing, because if so, I'll definitely love reading it. I have enjoyed listening to your passionate reading of your prologue and your exuberance. I also had no idea that you were a musician. And when did you pick up an instrument?
Odd you should ask, because the road on this very hitchhike taught me to play harmonica. I took a little sea harp with me, and you have a lot of time on the side of the road to suck and blow. And that's how I learned to play harmonica. In fact, as I was heading for the Iron Curtain, I took a moment to try to play some harmonica. It was best for me to practice when no one was around in those days. But I realized, hey, I'm starting to sound pretty good on this thing. And I thought to myself, and I say in the book, it takes a long, hard road for a white boy to find the blues.
And thank you for the phone call. And it does sound like you did find them. And speaking of your music, Mark, you certainly were a music lover, and you already had embraced the guitar, I have to think, before this whole journey. Now, since you've been back from this journey, is it reflected in some of your music?
You know, I've been writing songs for 40 years, and that has affected my prose. I've thrown a lot of song lyrics into this book. And yeah, when I'm talking today, I'm really just reciting passages of the book. That's what I'm doing. I know it by heart. I had to edit the darn thing so many times. It's going to be available at a book signing next Thursday, May 30th at 6 o'clock at Castle Gallery, run by the most beautiful woman in the world, my wife, Jody Hemphill Smith, the greatest living artist.
I agreed on both the beauty and the talent there.
But
the thing
about it is, everybody has a journey, and we're all afraid to take it. And what I am saying in this book is, proceed on your journey. Do not be afraid. I want this book to grab all the old hippies by the shoulders and say, hey, you weren't so wrong back then. Remember your ideals. Let's get the peace movement back together. And this time, let's not get distracted by the sex and the drugs. I mean, yeah, they were fun. But, you know, the peace movement kind of evolved into the me generation of the 70s and 80s. And it's kind of been discredited, but that's wrong. Because what were we back then? We wanted an end to war. We wanted more spiritualism. We wanted, you know, to not get caught up in our parents' rat race. And hey, oh, by the way, here we are in our parents' rat race. How did this happen? I'm here in a suit and tie. I used to make fun of guys that looked like me. I still do. So this could happen to you, America. My message is, get out there and do it. And if you got a book you think you got to write, write it. I'm 63 years old. It took me too long. Now, let me say this. At the beginning of my journey in Monterey, California, I met John Lennon, and he was always my Beatle hero. And he was at a row of political, radical political literature, and I went over and I said, "Hi, are you John Lennon?" Careful not to ask, when are the Beatles getting back together? That would not have been cool. He looked up at me warily, and I said, "I just want to say I've really admired your work." And she says, "Well, in that case, I am John Lennon." And he stood up. And he was short. And I thought, well, this guy's supposed to be larger than life. And here he was. Not so much that he was short, but he was a human being just like me. And suddenly I realized, oh boy, I better get out there and be my own hero. And so that's kind of what this book is about too. But as I learned to play harmonica on the road, and as I traveled from country to country, the spirit of John Lennon and his music gave me courage when I got into places where I was afraid. I'd often sing Beatles songs to myself. By the time I got to Bombay, Italy, I had not one penny, not one rupee to my name. Sleeping in the streets, very bad place to be. Dying of dysentery, and having just left Adriana, who tried to stab me in my sleep. It was a bad time. And I mean, this is serious stuff. I woke up and she had a dagger in her hand, and I disarmed her and left and went off into the masses of Old Delhi with the dust rising, the cows walking in the crowds, the little scooters. And I looked back at the Crown Hotel, and there on the fourth floor balcony was Adriana in all her glory in a flimsy nightgown, the wind blowing the gossamer garment into every gorgeous crevice of her body. And I knew I couldn't go back. So off I went into the crowd, and I realized at that point, I don't have any money. I could starve here. I could die here. So I took to eventually selling my underwear for bananas. And I want to tell you, there is a way to sell underwear in the streets of Bombay, and you do not put it all out on a table, or it will be stolen. You got to take one piece of underwear and dance around like an American Indian, sing and shout, and sooner or later, somebody's going to give you a few rupees for this, because they didn't really have underwear then, at least not BVDs.
Well, that, all of that and more, the extended excerpt, I think, that we have enjoyed of Mark Paul Smith's book, The Hitchhike, and that can be, we can obtain a signed copy at the opening at the Castle Gallery this Thursday. And in the meantime, Mark, I'm going to let you have the last word in wishing our own Sarah D'Elia a goodbye and on her next adventure to Birmingham, Alabama.
Sarah, go get them. We've loved having you here. We're going to miss you. There's going to be a rent in the social fabric.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mark. And you are listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1 and streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University and supported by listeners like you. Thank you. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.